Today is the 29th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Very grateful. Grateful to be here with you today. Wherever you might be, I'm here in these rolling hills of Tennessee that are lush and green and beautiful. And this is a lovely, lovely, fertile time of year here in these beautiful rolling hills, wherever you may be. I pray that it is a beautiful time for you. But no matter where we are, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, summertime, wintertime, day or night, here we are in our safe oasis around the global campfire. And I am grateful to be here with you today as we take the next step forward, which leads us obviously back to where we left off. Exactly where we left off. Which leads us back into the book of 2 Kings. Today we will read chapters 15 and 16. Azariah, son of Amaziah, became king of Judah in Jeroboam's 27th year as king of Israel. He was only 16 years old when he became king, and he ruled 52 years from Jerusalem, which was also the hometown of his mother, Jecoliah. Azariah obeyed the Lord by doing right, as his father Amaziah had done. But Azariah did not destroy the local shrines, and they were still used as places for offering sacrifices. The Lord punished Azariah with leprosy for the rest of his life. He wasn't allowed to live in the royal palace, so his son Jotham lived there and ruled in his place. Everything else Azariah did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. Azariah died and was buried beside his ancestors in Jerusalem. His son Jotham then became king. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in the 38th year of Azariah's rule in Judah. But he ruled only 6 months from Samaria. Like his ancestors, Zechariah disobeyed the Lord by following the evil ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused the Israelites to sin. Shallum, son of Jabesh, plotted against Zechariah and killed him in public. Shallum then became king. So the Lord had kept his promise to Jehu that the next four kings of Israel would come from his family. Everything else Zechariah did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Israel. Shallum became king of Israel in the 39th year of Azariah's rule in Judah. But only 1 month after Shallum became king, Menuhem, son of Gadi, came to Samaria from Tirzah and killed him. Menahem then became king. The town of Tifsah would not surrender to him, so he destroyed it and all the surrounding towns as far as Tirzah. He killed everyone living in Tifsah, and with his sword he even ripped open pregnant women. Everything else Shallum did while he was king, including his plot against Zechariah, is written in the history of the kings of Israel. Menahem became king of Israel in Azariah's 39th year as king of Judah, and he ruled Israel 10 years from Samaria. He constantly disobeyed the Lord by following the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused the Israelites to sin. During Menahem's rule, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria invaded Israel. He agreed to help Menahem keep control of his kingdom if Menahem would pay him over 34 tons of silver. So Menahem ordered every rich person in Israel to give him at least 50 pieces of silver, and he gave it all to Tiglath-Pileser, who stopped his attack and left Israel. Everything else Menahem did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Israel. Menahem died and his son Pekahiah became king. Pekahiah became king of Israel in the 50th year of Azariah's rule in Judah, and he ruled 2 years from Samaria. He disobeyed the Lord and caused the Israelites to sin, just as Jeroboam son of Nebat had done. Pekah, son of Remaliah, was Pekahiah's chief officer, but he made plans to kill the king. So he and 50 men from Gilead broke into the strongest part of the palace in Samaria and murdered Pekahiah, together with Argob and Ariah. Pekah then became king. Everything else Pekahiah did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Israel. Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king of Israel in Azariah's 52nd year as king of Judah, and he ruled 20 years from Samaria. He disobeyed the Lord and followed the evil example of Jeroboam son of Nebat, who had caused the Israelites to sin. During Pekah's rule, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria marched into Israel. He captured the territories of Gilead and Galilee, including the towns of Ijon, Abel-Bet-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, and Hazor, as well as the entire territory of Naphtali. Then he took Israelites from those regions to Assyria as prisoners. In the 20th year of Jotham's rule in Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, plotted against Pekah and murdered him. Hoshea then became king of Israel. Everything else Pekah did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Israel. Jotham, son of Azariah, became king of Judah in the 2nd year of Pekah's rule in Israel. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled 16 years from Jerusalem. His mother Jerusha was the daughter of Zadok. Jotham followed the example of his father by obeying the Lord and doing right. It was Jotham who rebuilt the upper gate that led into the court around the Lord's temple. But the local shrines were not destroyed, and they were still used as places for offering sacrifices. Everything else Jotham did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. During his rule, the Lord let King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah of Israel start attacking Judah. Jotham died and was buried beside his ancestors in Jerusalem, and his son Ahaz became king. Ahaz, son of Jotham, became king of Judah in the 17th year of Pekah's rule in Israel. He was 20 years old at the time, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 16 years. Ahaz wasn't like his ancestor David. Instead, he disobeyed the Lord and was even more sinful than the kings of Israel. He sacrificed his own son, which was a disgusting custom of the nations that the Lord had forced out of Israel. Ahaz offered sacrifices at the local shrines as well as on every hill and in the shade of large trees. While Ahaz was ruling Judah, the king of Edom recaptured the town of Eilat from Judah and forced out the people of Judah. Edomites then moved into Eilat, and they still live there. About the same time, King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah of Israel marched to Jerusalem and attacked, but they could not capture it. Ahaz sent a message to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria that said, "Your Majesty, King Rezin and King Pekah are attacking me, your loyal servant. Please come and rescue me." Along with the message, Ahaz sent silver and gold from the Lord's temple and from the palace treasury as a gift for the Assyrian king. As soon as Tiglath-Pileser received the message, he and his troops marched to Syria. He captured the capital city of Damascus. Then he took the people living there to the town of Kir as prisoners and killed King Rezin. Later, Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, and while Ahaz was there, he saw an altar and sent a model of it back to Uriah the priest, along with the plans for building one. Uriah followed the plans and built an altar exactly like the one in Damascus, finishing it just before Ahaz came back. When Ahaz returned, he went to see the altar and to offer sacrifices on it. He walked up to the altar and poured wine over it. Then he offered sacrifices to please the Lord, to give him thanks and to ask for his blessings. After that, he had the bronze altar moved aside, so his new altar would be right in front of the Lord's temple. He told Uriah the priest, "From now on, the morning and evening sacrifices, as well as all gifts of grain and wine, are to be offered on this altar. The sacrifices for the people and for the king must also be offered here. Sprinkle the blood from all the sacrifices on it, but leave the bronze altar for me to use for prayer and finding out what God wants me to do." Uriah did everything Ahaz told him. Ahaz also had the side panels and the small bowls taken off the movable stands in the Lord's temple. He had the large bronze bowl, called the sea, removed from the bronze bowls on which it rested, and had it placed on a stand made of stone. He took down the special tent that was used for worship on the Sabbath and closed up the private entrance that the kings of Judah used for going into the temple. He did all these things to please Tiglath-Pileser. Everything else Ahaz did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. Ahaz died and was buried beside his ancestors in Jerusalem, and his son Hezekiah became king. Acts 19, 13 through 41. Some Jewish men started going around trying to force out evil spirits by using the name of the Lord Jesus. They said to the spirits, "Come out in the name of that same Jesus that Paul preaches about." Seven sons of a high priest named Siva were doing this when an evil spirit said to them, "I know Jesus, and I have heard about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit jumped on them and beat them up. They ran out of the house naked and bruised. When the Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus heard about this, they were so frightened that they praised the name of the Lord Jesus. Many who were followers now started telling everyone about the evil things they had been doing. Some who had been practicing witchcraft even brought their books and burned them in public. These books were worth about 50,000 silver coins. So the Lord's message spread and became even more powerful. After all this happened, Paul decided to visit Macedonia and Achaia on his way to Jerusalem. Paul had said, "From there, I will go on to Rome." So he sent his two helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, but he stayed on in Asia for a while. At that time, there was serious trouble because of the Lord's way. A silversmith named Demetrius had a business that made silver models in the temple of the goddess Artemis. Those who worked for him earned a lot of money. Demetrius brought together everyone who was in the same business and said, "Friends, you know we make a good living at this. But you have surely seen and heard how this man Paul is upsetting a lot of people, not only in Ephesus, but almost everywhere in Asia. He claims that the gods we humans make are not really gods at all. Everyone will start saying terrible things about our business. They will stop respecting the temple of the goddess Artemis, who is worshipped in Asia and all over the world. Our great goddess will be forgotten." When the workers heard this, they got angry and started shouting, "Great is Artemis, the goddess of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in a riot, and some men grabbed Gaius and Aristarchus, who had come from Macedonia with Paul. Then everyone in the crowd rushed to the place where the town meetings were held. Paul wanted to go out and speak to the people, but the Lord's followers would not let him. A few of the local officials were friendly to Paul, and they sent someone to warn him not to go. Some of the people in the meeting were shouting one thing and others were shouting something else. Everyone was completely confused and most of them did not even know why they were there. Several of the Jewish leaders pushed a man named Alexander to the front of the crowd and started telling him what to say. He motioned with his hand and tried to explain what was going on, but when the crowd saw that he was Jewish, they all shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Artemis, the goddess of the Ephesians." Finally, a town official made the crowd be quiet. Then he said, "People of Ephesus, who in the world doesn't know that our city is the center for worshiping the great goddess Artemis? Who doesn't know that her image, which fell from heaven, is right here? No one can deny this, and so you should calm down and not do anything foolish. You have brought men in here who have not robbed temples or spoken against our goddess. If Demetrius and his workers have a case against these men, we have courts and judges. Let them take their complaints there. But if you want to do more than that, the matter will have to be brought before the city council. We could easily be accused of starting a riot today. There is no excuse for it. We cannot even give a reason for this uproar." After saying this, he told the people to leave. Psalm 147. Sing and praise the Lord. Shout praises to the Lord. Our God is kind, and it is right and good to sing praises to Him. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem and brings the people of Israel back home again. He renews our hopes and heals our bodies. He decided how many stars there would be in the sky and gave each one a name. Our Lord is great and powerful. He understands everything. The Lord helps the oppressed, but He smears the wicked in the dirt. Celebrate and sing. Play your harps for the Lord our God. He fills the sky with clouds and sends rain to the earth, so that the hills will be green with grass. He provides food for cattle and for the young ravens when they cry out. The Lord doesn't care about the strength of horses or powerful armies. The Lord is pleased only with those who worship Him and trust His love. Everyone in Jerusalem, come and praise the Lord your God. He makes your city gates strong and blesses your people. God lets you live in peace, and He gives you the very best wheat. As soon as God speaks, the earth obeys. He covers the ground with snow like a blanket of wool, and He scatters frost like ashes on the ground. God sends down hailstones like chips of rocks. Who can stand the cold? At His command, the ice melts, the wind blows, and streams begin to flow. God gave His laws and teachings to the descendants of Jacob, the nation of Israel, but He has not given His laws to any other nation. Shout praises to the Lord. Proverbs 18, 4 and 5. Words of wisdom are a stream that flows from a deep fountain. It's wrong to favor the guilty and keep the innocent from getting justice. Okay, we have a really interesting, fascinating story in the book of Acts today about a man and his seven sons and the way that they were attempting to use or even co-opt the name of Jesus. So this man's name is Siva, and he has, the seven sons of Siva. And he was actually a leading devout Hebrew priest. So his sons certainly knew the traditions, certainly knew the religion. They had grown up in it. And so they, the sons, are going from town to town, attempting to cast out demons, like exorcisms in the name of Jesus. So there's like an irony here, because we've been watching Paul first go to synagogues everywhere he goes and trying to share the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus with the Jewish people, only to find complete opposition, sometimes like deathly opposition. So the irony is that these same unbelieving Jews might be invoking the name of Jesus to try to have the power and authority of Jesus without knowing Jesus. And so in one exorcism that we saw today, these seven sons encountered something that they were not ready for. So they're casting out this evil spirit in the name of Jesus, and the spirit speaks back to them, I know Jesus. Like, I know the name you're using. And I've heard about Paul. Well, who in the heck are you? And then the man with the evil spirit jumps on them, overpowers them, attacks them with such violence that they end up fleeing from the house, beaten up and naked. So completely humiliated by this evil spirit. So the story, there's many layers here, but the story shows us that calling upon or invoking the name of Jesus doesn't have magical powers. It's not even an authority or a commanding thing without Jesus. Like, calling upon the name of your favorite sports star isn't going to do anything different. Calling upon the name of your favorite singer or musician isn't going to do anything different. You don't have the authority to use any of those names, but certainly calling upon the name of Jesus to do something on your behalf or to give you authority, and you don't know Jesus and his spirit is not within you, doesn't really do anything. People use the name of Jesus for all kinds of reasons, right? Like all the way up until today. But the authority of that name is present within those who have surrendered their identity to his work and his spirit within. And we see that power in the apostles. That is how they are empowered to do things in the name of Jesus. So the evil spirit in this story knows who Jesus is. It even knows Paul's authority. But there is no respect for those using his name without having his authority. So once the word of this humiliating encounter gets out, then there is a solemn reverence for the name of Jesus that falls over this city. And it becomes clear that there is power in the name of Jesus, but that it cannot be co-opted. It cannot be incorporated into some kind of mystical catalog of incantations that may be used. It's not another tool in a toolbox. This caused a very significant shift, because many then, in their spirituality and in their spiritual practices, confessed their sinful sorcery and surrendered their lives. And man, there's this big bonfire where all of these kinds of, all this kind of spirituality, all the books of instruction they're burned. So yeah, no question, there's power in the name of Jesus. But not without Jesus. Jesus is not and will not be and is not willing to be an add-on to our lives. like a hack for our lives, an authority in our lives that we get to summon as needed and then put back away in the toolbox. That is not what's going on here. The authority of Jesus is for the will of Jesus and for the purposes of Jesus, and we are the vessel. We don't pull him out for our good. We're here for his good. The authority of Jesus comes when we surrender our power completely and our identity in exchange for his power, his authority, and his identity in our lives. And so that could explain a lot about the way that we use the name of Jesus, maybe when we don't have any authority to be doing that. And then we're not going to be able to use the name of Jesus to get us a pass into anything, not without knowing Jesus. And so Jesus, and to know you and to be known by you is the ambition and goal of our lives. To know you, to walk with you, to walk in love with you, in relationship with you, to be in covenant with you, and to be loyal to you, and to be available to you. You are available to us. But sometimes we think that's what's going on here. Somehow we have the authority. Somehow it's up to us to determine these things, when we're supposed to be walking in the truth by your Holy Spirit and available to be used by you for your will and your purposes. Help us to not forget what's actually going on here and who's actually in control. We pray in your name and by your authority, the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website. It is where we find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app is all of that as well. What's going on around here? A week from tomorrow is our annual, like we have an annual tradition, our own little Daily Audio Bible holiday that we call the Long Walk. And that tradition goes way back, really to the second year of Daily Audio Bible. So 20 years, this tradition goes back. And it is a day that it's just very, very simple. We are approaching the middle of the year, believe it or not. And a lot has happened. And we don't really ever slow down to regroup. We just kind of keep going and hoping, you know, hoping for the best and hoping that we're walking in the will of the Lord, but maybe not really even checking in a lot. Mostly asking God to help us with what we're doing. Very little of spending time with somebody we claim to love. Wasting time as if we're in love. And finding clarity and direction in that space. It's not an intention. It's not something that we often think about. And it's not as if the world's going to slow down for us. It's only accelerating. Everything is geared toward getting our money by first getting our attention and making us believe that we can arrange for life from the outside in. This long walk is just that, a day that we set aside and give to God to do nothing more then go somewhere beautiful in his creation and slow down enough to listen to what is happening all around us. The life in the trees, the life all around us that is beautiful, that we ignore, and to drink in the beauty of God's creation in nature and go for a long walk. You remember, like, what it's like to maybe fall in love and go for a walk. It is aimless, pointless, doesn't matter, rain or shine. If it's raining and pouring, you just get soaked and splash in the puddles. Not things that we would just do. Unless we're completely smitten, like, what would it be like to just go for a long walk with no agenda? Other than really to catch up, to truly catch up with the lover of your soul, who knows more about you than anybody ever will, and knows all of your secrets, and love you still. What about going for a long walk with God, where there's space, where there's time to say everything that we need to say, catch up on everything, but then be still, listen, understand that this isn't a one-way relationship, and that maybe God wants to catch up with you on some things that are going on that he'd like to invite you into and that you should know about, because you're in a covenant, you're in a relationship. That's the deal. Go for a long walk. Whether you drive somewhere to a local park or you drive hours to somewhere that's very symbolic or beautiful to you, go for a long walk and spend the day enjoying fellowship with God and watch the dividends. Because you can think, I don't have space, I don't have time for that. You'll get way, 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 way more than a day back for spending a day with God. Way more. And so it is worth it. But this is also what relationships are built upon. So plan for the long walk the 7th day of July. I look forward to this every year, the reset of it. And so it's a very individual, very important, specific kind of day that we spend alone with God. But it's a community experience. Thousands and thousands of us all over the world do this and will do this. So what makes it a beautiful community experience is that wherever you go, whatever you do, maybe snap a picture of where you are. Take a little video of where you are. And then come back to the Daily Audio Bible Facebook page. Facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible. And we will have a post there for the long walk. And you can comment in that post and, post your pictures or your videos. And that post becomes this really, really beautiful picture of the day. So that when we get back from our long walk, we can go there and just kind of scroll and literally see what the day looked like all over the world, and drinking the beauty of the earth from all over the world. It's a remarkably beautiful thing. So certainly make plans for that. That's coming up. I'm making my plans, and I cannot wait to read and enjoy your long walk. We encourage each other. It's a plan for that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply. Thank you humbly. There is no way there'd be a global campfire if we didn't do this together. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey family, it's me, his little Cherie in Canada. And I wanted to call in and pray a birthday blessing over Eagle-Eyed Bruce. It's his birthday today. He is, it's going to be a really strange birthday for him, I'm sure, because he's the one who's incarcerated in Arkansas, dealing with stage 4 cancer. It's throughout his body now, and he really isn't getting the hospice care that he needs. And my heart just goes out to him and to everyone who's incarcerated dealing with health issues. I want to say a prayer for Bruce and for all of you today. Father, it's Bruce's birthday. I can't imagine what he's feeling today, but I pray that you'd minister to him as only you can. I pray that you'd comfort his heart, give him relief for his pain. Lord, that you'd just make a way for him to get the care that he needs. I pray that someone would have mercy on him, Father. May your will be done. I pray for everyone listening to the DAB who's incarcerated and dealing with serious health issues. Father, would you please help each one of them? I just pray that you'd enable them to be able to get the medical care that they need in a timely fashion. Father, I just pray that they'd reach out to you for strength, for comfort, that you would sustain them, and that you would focus their attention on you and on your love for them. May it carry them through. I thank you that you're with each one of us who is dealing with health issues, and we commit ourselves to your loving care. What else can we do? Thank you that you care so much for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joyce Mayer, and I'm from Woolwich, Maine, and I want to say a prayer for my daughter's uncle, Carl, who has a lot wrong with him, and he needs to be healed, and I believe in miracles. So please pray for Uncle Carl to have a miracle, to heal his whole body. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, God.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. Today, I'm asking for some prayer for myself and my son. Today is June 26th, and on July 1st, my company is going to have a reduction in force, and I am to deliver the message to 9 people on my team. And it really is been weighing heavily upon my heart over the last couple of months since I've known about it. I feel terrible. I'm under an NDA that forces me to keep my mouth shut over it. But I'm asking for God to cover these people. I'm asking for your prayer for them, that they may find better and more fulfilling work, and that God would use this moment in time to get closer to them. I also ask for prayer over my son. I've mentioned him before. You know, he is on the autism spectrum. He still has really no friends in his life. I'm really the only one. He spends his weekends with me. But I'm afraid that, you know, I'm just simply not enough for that, and he needs others in his life. So if you could lift up my son Alex, I would appreciate it. I ask for prayer for my daughter Katarina as well. She's doing very well, but I want God to continue to guide her and bring her closer to him. I thank you, my brothers and sisters, for praying for me. And I appreciate all that the DAB.
Praising you, Father, at the start of the day. Seeking your favor as I go on my way. Help me not waver. Help me not sway. Help me the Holy Spirit's urgings to obey. My little light is shining bright, and I slept serenely through the night. You said those you loved would prosper even while they sleep. And I can testify that that's a promise you definitely keep. I got blessings coming at me from every side, blessings that cannot and will not be denied. Showers of blessings, just like the old hymn used to say. And I know it's only because of my association with you, Father, that makes it that way. And every day I'm learning to trust you more, even though I don't know what's in store. But I'm not afraid to step into the unknown, because day after day my faith has grown to be larger than my fear, because you're always near. You never leave me, even though the world tries to deceive me. Fear is false evidence appearing real, the truth concealed. But through your Holy Spirit, truth is revealed. Whenever there are shadows, there also has to be light. And that's enough for me to see what's right. Your word is light and a lamp for my feet, making me confident, bold, and complete. So even though I don't know what's going to happen today, I can confidently say, I love you, Father. Have your own way. Blind Tony. Once again, Brian and the Harden family, thank you for this wonderful podcast for God's Holy Spirit to flow. Keep it flowing, y'all. All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Dosify Now in North Carolina. It is June the 26th, and I'm calling in to pray for From Junk to Treasure. But before I do, I just want to thank you, From Junk to Treasure, for being a champion prayer warrior in our DAF community. I certainly do commend you for your fervor, your consistency, and so much compassion that you show in your prayers. Bless you for showing up, even when you're experiencing hard places in your own life. So, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I lift up our dear sister From Junk to Treasure. You know all about her. You're mindful of her, and you love her. Let her feel your love and care as never before during these very trying times that she's going through with her children, with the 30-year anniversary of the death of her dad, and with concerns about her health, and even the uncertainty of being able to be a vendor at the festival and selling her craft. From Junk to Treasure, I know life's frustrating sometimes, and it gets downright stressful. But you are not alone on your journey. This community of believers love you dearly, and we come along beside you in prayer, and we love you. And I'm convinced that every detail of your life is continually woven together for God. But I believe you love God and you're called according to His purpose. So keep trusting, my dear sister, trusting God, even when you can't even trace what He's doing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in Jesus' sweet name. God bless you, Dabbers. Love you.
Hey, everybody. This is Following the Pillar. I just wanted to call in two things. The first is a praise report. We have gotten back to Missouri safely. About 2,000 miles of driving, but everybody stayed awake, stayed safe. So we were able to get through all of that and get back here. The wedding went wonderfully, is beautiful. So I just wanted to thank all of you for your prayers for all of that. And then I wanted to just give a prayer for the Gileadi Bible community. Lord God, your word says that if we take delight in you, you'll give us the desires of our heart. So I just pray that over the upcoming time that we would just learn to ask for your will to be done in our life. Lord God, that you would give us the desires of our heart, not in that you give us anything that we want, Lord God, but that you would actually give us what you desire. And that as we search for you and as we chase for your word, Lord God, that you would just align us with your will, align us with your way, and just allow us to come together in community and allow us to find a path forward. That's what we're searching for. I thank you for all of your goodness. Praise you, Lord God. And I ask this for all of us here. In your Holy Spirit.